Welcome to TTM Cast, your sports collectibles podcast.
Sponsored by CGC Cards, card grading all in one place. CGC Cards is devoted to expert grading of collectible cards, including TCGs, sports cards, and non-sports cards.
Sponsored by Collects, the free app for scanning and valuing your cards. Use the app to build your collection and buy and sell with other collectors. Turn the hobby into your side hustle. And by SportsCollectorsDaily.com. If it happens in the hobby, you'll find it on SportsCollectorsDaily.com. And sponsored by GemRate.com. The latest grading statistic from the four major grading companies is just a click away. Visit GemRate.com. It's free.
And now, here's our host, Drew Pelto.
Well, hello, everybody. Welcome once again to the TTM Cast podcast, your sports collectibles podcast, where we talk about all things related to TTM, cards, autographs, sports collecting, anything sports collecting. We're going to talk about it and a whole lot more. This is season number 6, episode number 8. We are here on March 9th of 2024, and you're listening to a nationally ranked sports collectibles podcast. I am Drew Pelto, coming to you here from North Texas, and we're, of course, joined by my co-host, up there in Iowa, Mr. Troy Rudder. Troy, how are things going?
Things are going pretty good up here. You know, we've had some kind of a mixture of 70s one day and 30s the next. So temperature. So kind of the spring swing is what we're going through.
Yeah, we've got the same thing here. It's anywhere from, 80 to 50. We don't really know what it's going to be one day to the next there. And rain, sun, it's all there. So we're just, it's clear today. I'll take that. I'm very happy with that. So. Well, jump right on into things with sports news. I know we've got you added one on here, so we'll definitely talk about that one in a bit. But I want to start with the NHL trading deadline has come and gone, and a couple big winners. I don't know how closely you follow hockey out there, but a couple big winners with Colorado and the Vegas Golden Knights, both making some very big splashes there at the deadline.
Yeah, I haven't followed that too closely, but from what I have seen, that's definitely going on, so...
My wife's a Colorado Avalanche fan, so when they made, five deals at the deadline there, she was kind of half excited, half freaking out a little bit, because there was a lot going on there with that team, but the reviews seem to be coming in positively for them so far.
Yeah, good, good.
I know you're an Iowa State guy rather than University of Iowa there, and yeah, a little cringe there saying that, but you got to give a shout out to Caitlin Clark setting two more NCAA scoring records this week. I mean... Whether you're a fan of the team or not, I mean, this is just an absolutely incredible talent that we're getting to see here and watching her play.
Yeah, you said it pretty much exactly. I've grown up here in Ames, Iowa, so it definitely have been a Iowa State fan my entire life. And so, yeah, we do cringe a little bit when anybody mentions Carver Hawkeye Arena or the Hawkeyes, mm-hmm. stuff like that. But it is fun to see, and I think everybody has kind of jumped into – you know, I won't call it a bandwagon, but deservedly so, the accolades that Caitlin Clark has been getting and following her last season there with the Hawkeyes.
Positive there. I mean, at least Iowa State and Iowa are not in the same conference, so there's that. You don't have to pick one or the other totally, but yeah.
Yeah, and it's been fun to see. You know, you never know what is going to happen, it was a 3-point record this week, I believe, wasn't
yes.
it?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, it's makes it exciting, and you know, there's not the drama that happened last year. It's all kind of positive excitement. So,
One that I see you added in on the list here, we've got some Logan Paul and WWE news. What do we have going on there?
Yeah, for the first time ever, I guess the WWE has had a sponsorship where they're actually going to brand the ring for most of their big time productions like WrestleMania and all that stuff, and that would be going to Logan Paul's Prime Hydration Drink. Obviously the Paul brothers are pretty huge in WWE and in boxing, so the fact that they actually secured that sponsorship isn't that big of a surprise, but it is the first sponsorship that WWE has had that has put a product that prominently on the screen.
I guess you could kind of see it coming, though, because, I mean, in every other sports league, it seems, does that with arena sponsorships, ads right in the field and everything. And now, I mean, ads in jerseys, too. So it's like, I guess it was kind of, you know, it was kind of inevitable, I guess.
Yeah, and I followed the Paul brothers from all the way from their YouTube shenanigans, and just the fact that they've progressed beyond, you know, cancel culture or whatever you want to call it for on YouTube to forming this company and their stardom that they've had now. It's that in itself is kind of fun to see, but when you combine that with, yeah, they're doing pretty well.
Yeah,
getting that sponsorship. So.
They're Cleveland kids. I can at least give them that. So.
Oh, there you go.
So just taking a look, anything we've added to the collections here this week? Mine's been kind of largely uneventful. I mean, anytime you go out and, you know, you go do spring training and then come back, it's good to take a little bit of a break. And so, yeah, I didn't do a whole lot this week. Just got my cards sorted and put away from what I got signed out there. And I did have at least one eBay pickup, though. Found a 21 Topps Heritage Hanser Alberto in action card that was signed. Got that at my right in my usual price range. I try not to spend more than about $7 on a card, including shipping for any cards, any free sets. And I think came in just under that. So happy to add that one in at least. So over 200 signatures now for the Topps Heritage Major League sets there. And then well over that, I think over 150 now in the minor league set. But how was your week? Any nice pickups there? I see you had one here listed at least.
Yeah, I had two eBay pickups. One is certified PSA DNA certified, so I'm pretty confident on that. And it's kind of a big one for me. That is a 1991 Donruss George Brett
nice.
MVP card. So it was actually mislabeled as 1990, so it didn't show up in any of my save searches. It just kind of randomly showed up, and I was like, well, for being authenticated, I'll go ahead and pick that up. And I also picked up a Tony Phillips for the set. So I'm down to only needing about 36 out of 770 left for that. And the Tony Phillips, I don't know if it's going to pass or not. It was done with a really thick Sharpie. And so the signature lines are kind of all run together. So it's anybody's guess. But it looked pretty good even with the thick strokes there. So hopefully, you know, when I go to send those in, I'm not going to have 770 authenticated. I don't have that kind of money, but whenever I do, that will probably be one of my prime candidates to send in. But so yeah, two eBay pickups for the set, and I'm pretty happy because those are few and far between these days.
And I mean, especially, I mean, with a guy like Phillips there, you know, being deceased for what, probably close to 15, 20 years or so now. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, sometimes you just got to take what you can get there and hope for the best when it comes to something like that with a super thick Sharpie or something like that, or the other end of the spectrum, somebody signing on a like a ballpoint pen on it or something like that. Those can always be kind of easier to read, but they don't quite look as good. So yeah,
happy to get them back. They're both blue Sharpies, so fit in with all the nice ones that I have. So
nice. Well, we'll go ahead and jump on into things here. We've got a lot on the way here. Clemente's World. We've got Clemente Lisi that's going to be joining us later on in the show, talking about some Connor Bedard and the Upper Deck Series 2 release and his experiences overseas. He went to the London card show. I know we talked about his article on that a couple, either last week or 2 or 3 weeks ago, something like that. But we'll talk to Clemente about all of that. And we'll cover all of our regular segments as well with Baker's Dozen, covering all the news that's been happening in the last week in all of sports collectibles. Clemente will be on right after that, and then we'll go into Making the Grade and Stamp of Approval, which I just realized I still need to think of something for Stamp of Approval. I didn't call it something, but I'm sure I can go with something on the fly here when we get to that. We've got the Vern Rap Minute, where we cover any deaths in the world of sports, celebrity, music, movies, politics, anybody you might consider TTMing. We will let you know if they've passed on. And the main reason why we all are here, it's our TTM Returns. If you'd like to contact us, that is very easy to do. Troy, how can people contact us?
Well, the best email address is always ttmcast@yahoo.com, and that will get your email straight here.
Absolutely. If you got any questions for me or for Troy, send them on to there. We'll get those covered during the show or any way that we can, pretty much. If you want to contact me directly, it's dfwgraffer@gmail.com. Let's go ahead and roll right on to things. Here comes Baker's Dozen.
Baker's Dozen, sponsored by SportsCollectorsDaily.com.
Smart collectors turn to Sports Collectors Daily to stay up to date. From new releases to incredible collections hitting the auction block, news from inside the business of sports collectibles, and much more, Sports Collectors Daily has it, all with no subscription cost. SC Daily also delivers a live look at the most watched sports card auctions on eBay for every sport. Sign up to get the headlines in your email for free, or just visit the website whenever you like. With 16,000 stories in the archive going back 16 years, there is always plenty to read at sportscollectorsdaily.com.
Acres Dozen is a news summary of sorts from the previous week in sports collectibles news. Talking about a little bit of anything that comes up in terms of auction stuff, in terms of new releases, any player signings, anything like that. I want to remind you, of course, we also have the collects.app coupon. If you're on Collects, well, if you're not on Collects, definitely get on it. C-O-L-L-X. You can get it in any the Apple store, the Google store, anything like that. Or just go to collects.app and download it from there. You get a $10 coupon for their marketplace. Just send us your Collects name and your email address, and we will forward that on and get you $10 to spend in their marketplace. Also, I want to remind you, Five Star Dynasty, the card game, the collectible card game that we talked about a month or two ago on the show with Amir Kim El Malawani. I believe they still have their Instagram bonus for listeners. So if you want to go and buy a copy of that game, fivestardynasty.com, and follow them on Instagram at Five Star Dynasty Game. Once you put in your order, shoot the message, let them know that you're a listener, and you might get a little bonus whenever they send out your set to you. Also, make sure to check out my weekly article on Sports Collectors Daily. I talked this past week, two articles that got up there about my exploits at spring training. Talked a little bit about it last week on the show, but this goes way more in depth on all of that. And yeah, I don't know what my article is going to be about this coming week just yet, but yeah, wait and see. I usually try to come up with some good stuff at least. Well, moving on to some hobby news here. We mentioned Caitlin Clark in the open there, and well, she's in the hobby news here as well. She has signed an exclusive deal with Panini this week. I knew about that. It was on its way a couple weeks ago there, and finally can talk about it now. But it's for cards. It's for memorabilia. It's going to cross multiple years. And they're going to have a dedicated card product of just several cards of her coming up here in April, I believe, is when they're going to start taking pre-orders on that. Very nice-looking product, though, and I'm definitely interested in seeing where that goes and looking forward to seeing all that come out. So Caitlin Clark, a new Panini athlete.
Yeah, in other news, we had a very uniquely trimmed 1952 Topps Mickey Mantle that went up for auction on eBay. Now, this one was actually graded BVVG Authentic. And what made it really unique was that the entire background and most of the border were kind of cut away, and the back has paper damage. So it was kind of like you had stuck it in a scrapbook for many, many, many years. And so, but even in that condition, the card still went for over $7,000. So if you have one of those in a scrapbook, even if it's kind of maybe trimmed a little bit, you can get it up there on the bay.
I mean, I'm amazed by that. I mean, if I had $7,000 to spend, part of me is like, yeah, I kind of might go for that. But then part of me is like, good God, why? I really don't know how I feel about this.
Yeah, I would probably pass, but that's okay.
Yeah. Well, as with every Wednesday, another signer has been added to the National this year. They've been dropping one name every Wednesday here as they progress closer and closer to the show. And Johnny Bench now added to the list of this year's signers. Once again, we don't know the scheduling or the price on any of that, but it should come out pretty soon. TriStar has been putting out the info on their Instagram. National has been putting it out on their Facebook page most of the time. They missed the Johnny Bench one, so I nearly end up missing that this week. But fortunately, TriStar coming through on Instagram there. You can always visit nsccshow.com for more information about the upcoming National.
Yeah, interesting thing about Johnny Bench, there was actually a TV show when I was really little called The Baseball Bunch. And I thought I hallucinated it for a long time, but it is real. And Johnny Bench used to, that was like his baseball show. It had the chicken on it. It was great. So nice. Little tidbit out there. I don't think any of them survived. They might be on YouTube, but if you're interested, check those out.
There's a lot of stuff like that I mean, do you remember back in like the late 80s? There's a commercial about cards. And this guy, pulls a card and goes, "Wow, Ricky Henderson." Do you remember that at all? Or is this like some kind of fever dream that I've had for the last 30 years?
I think I remember that, but I don't remember.
Okay, yeah. Because I can't remember specifically what it was advertising other than something about baseball cards. And I can't find it anywhere. There's nothing of it on YouTube at all. And it seems like I always saw it. And I mean, a friend of mine would even say, like, if he's really shocked by something, he'd go like, wowee, Ricky Henderson or something like that all the time. And I thought that, like, it's to the point where it's like, did I make this all up in my head at some point? But no, it's apparently it's a legitimate thing, but nobody can find a video of it anywhere.
I'm sure one of the listeners will probably send in a link to the Baseball Bunch somewhere.
Yeah, there you go.
It'll be a good trip down memory lane. So anyway, also, you might have been waiting for this one, but 2024 Topps Heritage is finally dropping, and looks like it's going to be on April 10th. And the short prints are now the first 100 cards, and the set will be in the 1975 design. So there you go. And checklists for the set have not been made public, so we don't really know everything that's going to be in there yet, but should come out probably in the next couple of weeks, closer to the release time. Again, that'll be April 10th.
Moving the short prints to the first 100 cards is kind of interesting because, you know, it's always been the last 100 in there. So for anybody who's putting a set into a binder or anything like that, that is going to look really, really weird at first. You know, having like the first, 10, 11 pages, mostly empty as you gradually fill in the short prints there. But I guess if it works, all right, go try it out, Tops, I guess. But yeah, that's kind of a weird change to me.
Definitely. It'll be interesting to see.
Well, speaking of upcoming releases, we've got several to talk about here that are coming up in the next week. You may remember last week, I think we only had like two or three to talk about. Well, this week, I think I've got like seven on the list, so a lot to cover here. But 2023 Bowman Inception Baseball is set to be coming out on March 15th, according to, I think it was Steel City Sports or Steel City Cards is who I went through to check on the release dates there. But March 15th is the latest date on that one. 7 cards per pack in Bowman Inception, 1 pack per box. Out of each of those, you'll see 2 autographs and 1 foil parallel. Price on that, $165.
And coming up on March 13th, we have the 2024 Topps Archives Signature Series. And this has a little subtext of the Active Players Edition. And that has 1 encased auto per box. And the pre-sale price for that is $85.
I've always called those a lottery ticket. And yeah, I definitely... Yep. 85, I mean, you might end up getting, you know, some random second baseman there, or you might get a Hall of Famer. Well, active players, you're not going to get a Hall of Famer or anything, but you might have a chance like a Mike Trout or something in there, so you never really know.
Yeah, my luck would be the first part that you mentioned there.
That's how mine tends to go, too. Yep. We got some football coming out here from Panini. They've got Illusions football coming out also on March 13th. 5 cards per pack, 10 packs per box, and in there you're going to see a lot of inserts in there, 15 inserts and parallels, plus 3 autographs and 2 memorabilia cards, so basically 2 inserts per pack in there, which is pretty nice, but pretty high pre-sale price there, $450 is what we're looking at there.
Sticking with football, we have 2023 Leaf Trinity football. That will be released on March 15th. In that box, you have 5 autos per box. And patch and dual autos are randomly inserted throughout all the product there. And that pre-sale price is a little better at $200.
Moving on to some basketball here, we've got Donruss Elite from Panini coming out. That's the 23-24 set, also due on March 13th. In there, you're going to get 8 cards per pack, 6 packs per box. You're going to see 2 autographs, 2 rookies, and 6 parallels in each box. Pre-sale on this one, $325.
And the 2023 Panini Prism Fast Break, that will also be on March 15th. That comes in at 9 cards per pack and 10 packs per box. And with that, you get 1 autograph, 12 prisms, and 6 other random inserts there per box. And the pre-sale price for that 2023-24 Panini Prism, $500.
Lastly, we've got some golf for any golf collectors out there. Okay. The Upper Deck 2024 set is coming. Wow. That'll be on March 13th, 24 packs per box with 8 cards per pack. So pretty good number of cards there. So might be a nice TTM product right there if anybody out there TTMs golf. You're going to see basically 1 insert per pack, 6 young guns and 18 other inserts found per box. So approximately 1 per pack right there. Very affordable price as well for $110 for the Upper Deck 2024 golf set. We got a couple shows upcoming here this weekend. It's next weekend, actually. It's going to be a very big weekend, really, across the country. Because, I mean, there's a couple that I try to limit the Baker's Dozen to a Baker's Dozen of news stories in here. And so was only able to cover two shows this week. But I know there's a big one out in Arizona as well, in addition to these two that we're talking about here. So very, very busy week for any of the big shows. But Dallas Card Show being the main one close to me. That's March 15th through the 17th, next weekend, Friday through Sunday. We'll be at the Waters Creek Convention Center in Allen, Texas. $15 admission costs, 700 tables, though, at this thing across multiple rooms. So if you want to make sure you check out all the tables, you might want to look into their full weekend pass or the VIP pass that they also have available. You're going to see 14 autograph guests out there, including Bob Lilly, Darren McFadden, Julio Franco is going to be there, along with Ruben Sierra, Miro Heiskanen from the Dallas Stars, and a whole lot more. If you want to check out more info on that, go to DallasCardShow.com.
And just a little bit north, also March 15th to 17th, we have the Chicago Sports Spectacular, and it can only be at pretty much what everybody considers the home of baseball card conventions. That is the Donald E. Stevens Convention Center in good old Rosemont, Illinois. Now, the admission there is $15, and they reportedly have about 400 tables sold and available there, and that includes 57 autograph guests. And it looks like the list is pretty impressive. I don't think I'll be able to head on over there, although it is at the end of my spring break week, if I had a spring break. Mike Piazza, Mike Tyson, Robin Yount, Frank Thomas, Dennis Rodman, and Sammy Sosa, and more. So there's a I think I have a Frank Thomas and a Robin Yount that I might need for the set. So very, very, very tempting to head over there. You can find out more about that at ChicagoSportsSpectacular.com. Again, March 15th to 17th at the Donald E. Stevens Convention Center.
I was shocked to count 57 autograph guests there. I mean, that's almost like, that's like national level almost. They're like a mini national, basically. So really cool to see that.
Yeah, and hopefully the lines aren't 2 hours long for that either.
Yeah, exactly. Well, there you go. That does it for Baker's Dozen. Let's move on to Clemente's World. Well, I spent about a half hour talking to show correspondent Clemente Lisi this week. Had a lot of hockey news. Of course, you know, Troy and I mentioned last week the release of the 23-24 Series 2 Upper Deck hockey set that came out, and prices being driven up massively there by the search for the Connor Bedard Young Guns rookie card, which haven't seen any of those come out yet, but I also haven't really been looking super hard either. But Clemente and I talk about that and about some other alternatives if you don't want to go, you know, spending $1,000 on just that card or $300 even on a box there, but also covering a little bit of some of the other items that are in that. And we talked to him as well about his time over in London at the London Card Show and some of the differences between U.S. card shows and ones over in Europe. So please enjoy my interview with Clemente Lisi in Clemente's World.
You know what that means. It's time for Clemente's World.
All right. Well, we're here in Clemente's World, joined by Clemente Lisi. Good to have you back here after about a month or so. Any fun pickups at all recently, first off, for your collection before we get into anything here?
Yeah, pickups. So I was at the London Card Show recently, so it was good to be, you know, at a show in another country, and you get to see stuff you don't see everywhere else. You know, a lot of soccer, of course. So I picked up a little, you know, some 90s and early 2000s soccer that you don't usually see in person, but you see on eBay. So I picked up some Champions League sets from the early 2000s, and, you know, I picked up a 1998 Panini World Cup soccer set, but not the stickers, the cards. It was a 100 card set made at the time, and you see those on eBay regularly, but to be able to go through it in person was kind of fun. And so that's, you know, often the allure of going to a show in another city or another region, or in this case another country, is to see things you don't normally see, and it was fun.
Cool. Yeah, we'll get more into that London Card Show a little bit later on here if we have time, which I'm sure we will for at least a little bit there at the end. But the big news right now in the hockey world, and we mentioned it was being released this week during last week's show, and Upper Deck Series 2, the Connor Bedard rookie card, it is finally here.
It is. So when you said any pickups, one thing I'm not picking up, at least anytime soon, is Series 2, because hobby boxes are going, well, typically they'd go for $140 to $170. They're going for $300. And then blaster boxes that go for $30 are going for $45 to $60. And even the tins are going for $30, $40, $50. So yeah, the Young Guns card of Connor Bedard is finally out after talking about it for months and months. Upper Deck basically told everyone in September it'd be in Series 2. Now we all know there was that Easter egg draft card back in Series 1, which grew to $600 to $700. I think things have leveled off a bit. Every time there's a new Bedard card, so that one leveled off. Then you saw the Marquee Rookie. That's a card that's usually $10, $20. That was shooting up to $100, maybe more. It leveled off last week. And of course, now the Bedard card out of the gate, we're talking about $1,000.
Wow. To go along with that, the one of one that's in there, one of the parallels, there are a couple sites out there that have already put out a $1 million bounty on that card, which to me, that's just, I mean, that is mind blowing to me. I mean, this is higher than any Wayne Gretzky card out there. And Bedard's not even 1 year into his career yet, and he's already garnering, million-dollar offers on cards.
You're making a really good analogy, which is what I was thinking too, which is if I had $1,000 just to spend on one card, let's say, I might want to go for a Gretzky in a low grade, or even a Crosby or an Ovechkin or a McDavid, who are all established stars, are going to be Hall of Famers, and you can get their Young Guns card for that, if maybe more. But you're right, for a player who shows a lot of promise, but has only been in the league half a season now, this is the kind of stuff we typically see in basketball and in maybe football and baseball. Hockey doesn't usually get this kind of attention where the cards are going for this much money. And look, I'm split about this, which is I'm excited that hockey's getting all this attention and people are buying hockey. But at the same time, for people like us who are longtime hockey collectors, it feels like you're kind of left out because all of a sudden all the new kids are in spending all this money. And there's a lot of people in there who are investors or whatever they call themselves, speculators. It drives the price up. And will it ever level off? I don't know. The problem is that this is probably the bottom, not the ceiling. And so my fear is that if Bedard is injured or misses some games, how far down can it go? Now, for now, I'll make an analogy. During the pandemic, the Lafreniere card came out and it was $600 off the start. Now, Lafreniere is not Bedard. He had some years that he was not performing as well, didn't get enough playing time. And he's actually playing really well this season. But his Young Guns card now is about $80, maybe less. Now, if you paid 600 at the peak, that's not good. So with the Bedard card at $1,000, I really would not go out and spend $1,000. If you have $1,000 and you want to spend it on cards, there's really a million different ways you can do that. But buying this one base card, which by the way, I think there'll be no shortage of, is probably not the smartest thing you should do.
And I mean, just thinking back to, you go back 20 years or so ago when you had Ovechkin and Crosby both in the 05-06 sets, it really seemed like there was a lot wider of a range of options out there too for any level of collector. You'd, of course, you had your Young Guns. It was going to be fairly high out there. But you also had stuff like MVP and Victory that you could grab for, $25, $30. Even now today, maybe 100 at most on those years later. But I don't really see that as much right now in the card industry.
Yeah, there are a lot of other options, but the price has been so ridiculous. And I think, look, we're talking about a post-pandemic world. You're talking about 20 years ago, pre-pandemic. And I do think the allure of the whole Young Guns mystique about this being tr the true rookie card, which is kind of funny because all those other rookie cards that were going for hundreds of dollars, I guess, were not real rookie cards. People were spending money on them anyway. But yeah, I don't know where this is going to go in terms of, is this going to be a kind of card that just keeps on going up and never really goes back down? Will it ever go under 1,000? And maybe not. And maybe it's one of those cards that people like us will never get. Now, look, like I said, you have $1,000. Go get yourself a nice grade PSA 3 Gretzky rookie. And that will probably hold its value because, look, as much as I want to see Bedard excel and succeed, anything can happen. And so to go out and spend those kind of money, but in another way, the buzz I think is good. It's just that it's sort of a mixed bag. Like people like us, I'm looking on eBay, and they're going from anywhere between 900 and something to $1,200. That's sold, and so that's where we're at.
It's just, I mean, to me, I'm with you. It's just too big of a gamble right now, so much. I mean, you talk about the Lafreniere thing, and even looking back 20 years ago, I mean, there was a rookie for the Pittsburgh Penguins that really didn't impress me much in his first half of the year. And I'm glad to know that I was wrong on that with Sidney Crosby, that he actually turned into a very solid player there. But it's the same thing with Bedard right now. It's like, okay, I can see there's a lot of potential there. I just haven't seen enough yet for me to say, yes, this is the real deal. Go out, spend that $1,000. I'm totally with you. There's smarter ways to go about it.
Yeah, no, I do think it's a post-pandemic thing for sure that's spilled over, and people that are, you know, people with the silver cases you see at the shows, the people with the graded cards, the ones where, you know, they want to flip the cards. Look, my advice is here. If you pull this card and you're lucky enough to pull it, I would sell, because I don't think it's going to, you know, you don't know what's going to happen. Then again, you, if you're a real collector, you want to hang on to it. I mean, I feel bad for the folks who like to complete the sets. Yeah. And I know there's fewer and fewer of those people. It's going to be very, very hard to get those Young Guns cards. I mean, they're not rare. It just, in terms of individually paying top dollar for them, it really, really is going to be tough.
Outside of the Connor Bedard card, are there any cards really to watch out for, you think, in Series 2 that are coming out, whether it's rookie cards or anything else?
Yeah, there's Leo Carlson. He's another highly touted rookie. He's having a good season, you know, at Anaheim. I think he's, you know, that card's going for $80, okay,
wow,
on eBay. And that's a lot, but that's within reason. That's what a normal rookie card would do in terms of movement. And so there's a big difference between 80 and 1,000. So, but I would try to get the inserts. I would try to get other cards. That's if you buy a box. I mean, the truth is, even at $300 a box, I'm guessing packs will go for $25 to $30 a pack, which is a lot of money, you know, if you're buying individual packs. And so there's been these big markups. The Upper Deck store sold out of everything within minutes on Wednesday morning. But if you go to even to your local shop, there's a markup on those things because of the demand. I mean, people were calling. I mean, my story for Sports Collectors Digest, their shops told me that they were getting calls back in August about Bedard. And then when they announced it would be in Series 2, people were pre-ordering these boxes in September, October, November. So, you know, which is crazy. And at some point, I remember you can pre-order some of these boxes for about $240, which is a lot of money still. And I didn't do it. I thought, well, $240 is a lot. And then all of a sudden, they shot up to $300. And I thought, okay, $299, forget it. I'm out. So, you know, but it's interesting. Look, I think the people who collect basketball, modern football, some baseball, they're used to this. We saw this with John Morant and all these other guys. And as hockey people, we were always like, hey, you know, it doesn't affect us. It's not our problem. But yeah, you know, now it is our problem. Now it's entered the hockey world. And look, Bedard is unique. He's playing for an original six team. He's having a good season, probably will be rookie of the year. And he's a Canadian. So you have interest from all over the East Coast, the Midwest, Canada, you know, so he hits all the right buttons. It's like three cherries on the slot machine. It's like perfect. And so in that sense, I you know, and maybe Crosby was that same person. I think Crosby is the only other person you can compare him to.
And I mean, to go along with that, not only was it, you know, an original six team and all that, that's the number three media market in the country there in Chicago, where you look at a guy like Sidney Crosby, Pittsburgh, right, not exactly a huge market. Look at Ovechkin, Washington, not a huge market. Even Gretzky, when he was in Edmonton, not exactly a huge market. So to have him dropped into, you know, one of the top three spots there, that is a lot of coverage is going to come his way. Just, you're going to see a lot of those guys that have only been basketball or baseball or football collectors. They're going to take a look at them and go, hey, maybe I should get in on this too. And, well, skyrocketing price is what we see out of it.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see. You know, in March, there's a couple of big regional shows, the Philly show, the Chicago Sports Spectacular. So we'll see this card, how big of a momentum we'll see at those regional shows. I think, you know, especially in Chicago, the demand will be high because everyone in Chicago is into this, even if you're a tangential hockey fan. And so I think it's only going to keep going up. And I'm just curious to see what happens with this card. You know, just keep tabs on it on eBay and other places. But look, don't go out and buy it. I just think it's a crazy amount of money.
Yeah. Well, mentioning the shows, I think is a perfect transition there into talking about that London show there. So I'm going to take a guess and say a lot of our listeners out there have not been to any shows outside of the U.S. I know I sure haven't. I haven't even been to any Canadian shows at all yet. But I guess the biggest thing that comes to mind is, you know, what are some of the differences? What's big in Europe that's not as big over here? What's big here that's not so much over there? I mean, obviously, you know, you're probably not going to find a whole lot of baseball or American football over there. Although with the London game, American football is probably getting bigger there. Probably going to see a lot more, I would think. You know, soccer is obviously going to be the big one over there.
Yeah, so you hit the right notes there. So yeah, I would compare the London card show to like maybe Dallas or Chicago in terms of a big regional show. But the one thing they have there that we don't do here is they pretty much treat the gaming cards, the Pokemon, all those Disney cards like equal to sports cards. So it's about 50-50. And so, you know, I think if you took the gaming cards out of the equation, the show would be very small. And so the London Card Show, actually, their logo is interesting. The logo is a soccer ball, a basketball, and one of the Pokeballs, right? So it tells you a little bit about, like, you know, and people get dressed up like characters, you know, like Pikachu and all that. So there is a Comic-Con type of feel. But at the same time, you're right. It's loaded with soccer. It's loaded with Formula One. But the NFL and the NBA have made huge inroads abroad. And so everything we know about the NBA and the NFL in terms of what they're doing in Europe, the London game, the NFL and everything else, you start seeing more collectors. So that was Super Bowl weekend. And they were actually a big group of British NFL fans. Okay. And I would say after soccer and Formula One, a distant third was football, you know, NFL and basketball. And so in that sense, it was interesting to see how these two sports have really grown globally. I mean, as you can imagine, nothing holds a torch to soccer. But the other thing I noticed about the show was interesting is I was looking for older things, more oddball stuff. And the truth is, a lot of the soccer, too, is very modern.
Yeah.
And some of the older dealers there told me that a lot of this is all new money, new shows. And, you know, shows are really new to Europe. I mean, the London Card Show is like the biggest one in Europe. And they've been around, I think, for about 2 years.
Wow.
And so I did a big story for Sports Collectors Digest about it because it was interesting to see, hey, what's a show like abroad? Now, I've been to the expo. But the expo feels like you're in an American city. It doesn't feel international, other than the money part. You know, you have to pay in Canadian dollars, and it's all hockey, or mostly hockey. But here, it felt like you were in another country. Though there were some Americans there, which was cool, and people from all over Europe show up. People from France and Denmark and all over Ireland. They're all coming to London because it's a short ride, and also because this is the place to be for soccer and other collectibles. I think, look, the allure of the show is, people told me this, and I feel the same way, is people shop on eBay, but you really want to talk to people. You want to interact with people. And look, you know, Drew, from being at shows, nothing beats going to a show because you get to see people. And I think a big part of our hobby is that.
Yeah, absolutely. Going back to what you're saying about looking for vintage stuff, I'm not too heavily surprised by that. Because if you remember right, I know you said you found that 98 Panini set there. But one of the things I heard when Panini, working with Panini, when they first started doing soccer cards again heavily, was that cards have never really taken off in Europe. They're definitely more of a sticker collecting community there. And you may remember back around 1992 or so, Score decided that they were going to try to get in on the Italian soccer market and put out a Serie A set. And boy, did that ever bomb massively. I mean, to the point where, like, I think it was 2007, I bought a case of it for basically the price of shipping. I think I paid like $40 and the shipping cost was $35 or something like that. But, yeah, it's just, I mean, it's never really taken off now, but now suddenly over the last 10 years or so, yeah, it definitely seems like it has really grown. It's kind of cool to see there, like you said, you know, seeing collectors from all over Europe that showed up at it.
Yeah, and so it's funny how the soccer is a very European game, but the hobby is set up, the hobby parameters are set up by America, North America. And so you're right, Europeans, look, if you were looking for Pelé, Maradona, these kind of guys, a lot of it was stickers that were in slabs. But the card market is huge now, and Panini and Topps, everybody's making cards, you know. And so sometimes if you go back into the 90s, there is that Score set you mentioned, or there is the Pro Set Premier League set from 92. You know, right. Some of those are starting to come back. Now, that's all junk wax, so it's still pretty affordable. But that set you mentioned, that Serie A set, I've seen people selling individual cards on eBay for $5 or $10 because they tout them as rookie cards. But they're not. The demand isn't there. The demand may be there, people our age, but the younger people, look, they want the shiny stuff. They want the autograph cards. They want the stuff from the last 3 years. They're looking for Mbappe. They're looking for, you know, Jude Bellingham. They're looking for these new guys. And so that's where the market is. And, you know, it's funny. I was looking for old stuff, and I was able to find some, you know, English league cards from the 70s that actually Topps put out that were in the same design as the baseball cards, but they were only sold in England. And thankfully, a few vintage dealers were there, and I was able to buy some cards from them because I was looking for the kind of stuff that I always see online, but never in person. The new top stuff I can get anywhere, you know, so that's not, you know, I can get that here in America. So, so it's interesting to see how even in Europe, there's all these new people in the hobby. And look, it's great to see the hobby growing, but it also showed me that the hobby is a lot more global than we think.
Kind of related to the Topps designs there and everything. Have you ever seen any of the old Australian football cards from the 60s, 70s on into the 80s at all?
I have.
Yeah, they weren't technically made by Topps. They're made by a gum company over there. But I
Yeah.
guess I don't know if they licensed the designs or whatever, but so many of the old designs on there, you can see, wait a second, that's a 79 Opeachy hockey that was being used in the 1980 football set and a whole bunch of other ones like that. And I always thought that that parallel there was really cool to see.
Yeah, see, I always thought those were Topps cards, and like these, I think were made when before it was the Premier League, it was also known as the English First Division. I thought those were, I think Topps did produce those, but you could not get them here, and the design maybe was also licensed. But it's also cool to see some of these 70s players with the shaggy hair on these iconic baseball designs. I mean, for us, they're baseball designs, you know, and so it was cool. I actually picked up a Rodney Marsh card that I thought was really cool. And Rodney Marsh, famous for playing for Fulham, but also playing for the Tampa Bay Rowdies here in the NASL. So,
It was Scanlon's gum, now that I think of it, was the ones over in Australia there. But yeah, never saw a Topps logo anywhere on them. I haven't actually gotten to see any of the actual cards, but I've seen them online. But always on the lookout for them. I mean, I'm a big, North Melbourne Kangaroos fan, so I haven't had any luck in trading for any just yet. But I've got a few from like a mid-90s set or something. But it's always just kind of cool to see, how the cards differ from country to country and all that too. And just, I mean, how much has stayed the same between them? I mean, cards have been basically a standardized size, for example, for what, going on 60 years now, 1957 or so they came out. And it's just kind of cool to see that has, transitioned or made translated into every single country now all over the hobby, that everybody's doing the exact same size like that.
yeah, I mean, I guess they all have to fit in the same nine pocket pages like everybody else, right? But yeah, no, there's almost these unwritten rules of the hobby that somehow everyone follows and it all works out. And yeah, it's true. It's the way that the hobby's become standardized. But it's, when I was in London, the show featured a few corporate booths and Topps had a big presence there, which tells me that they're really, really interested in, they put out Champions League cards and everything else. They're really interested in making the hobby grow. I mean, JSA was there authenticating autographs. So there's a lot of American companies now sending people over there knowing that, look, we need a European office. This is a fertile market. There's lots of people here. They're interested in cars, a lot of YouTubers that were there. And so, yeah, it's interesting. And I think a lot of these guys also go to the National because they're curious to see what America is doing every year. So, like I said, the world's a much smaller place, and it was kind of cool to be there.
I know Fanatics, if I remember right, has an office in Manchester there, so I'm not too surprised that, yeah, they were going to get Topps right in there as well, just what, a
Yeah.
couple hours away, I guess. So yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Oh, hey, great to get your thoughts there on Bedard, on the London show. Any other thoughts here before we call the segment a day?
No, the one thing I'll also add is I mentioned the Rodney Marsh car that I picked up. So, of course, I picked it up with the sole intention of getting it TTM'd.
Oh,
And
yeah.
so I mailed it to Rodney Marsh. People might not know, but Rodney Marsh is also a broadcaster now in the United States. And he sent it back. Maybe you can see it there. Best
Very
wishes,
nice.
Rodney Marsh. And it's very old school. And the back also has the little comic, just like the baseball cards did. So that's the great thing about the show. Going there, picking something up, mailing it out, getting it back, 2, 3 weeks, all done. Look, I love eBay, I love ComC, I love all that stuff, but nothing beats going through a box at a show and picking stuff out.
So for anybody, since we can't since the listeners can't see it there, that's basically in the 1976 Topps baseball design, but take the player out, put a soccer ball in its place, and you get an idea of exactly what that card looks like. So, really
Yeah.
cool to see that stuff there, and just kind of the duplication of the parallels between them.
And that's just the great thing about the shows is seeing stuff that you've never seen before. That's the fun part. And as much as we know what we know about the hobby, I'm always learning something new. So that's great.
Yes. Exactly. Well, there you go. Once again, Clemente Lisi, thanks for joining us here on the segment, and we'll continue on with the show. Big thanks to Clemente Lisi for joining us there in his segment. And right now, we'll go ahead and move on to Making the Grade.
Making the Grade is sponsored by CGC Cards. All card grading, all in one place. Certified guarantee company, CGC, devoted to the expert grading of collectible cards. Visit cgccards.com today.
Making the Grade is a summary of all things related to grading in our hobby, especially the big four grading companies. We get all of our info from gemrate.com. And Troy, what do we have for the previous week of grading numbers?
Yeah, so right now we're looking at February 26th to March 3rd. PSA had about 333.8 thousand cards, and that's up 15%. SGC had 31.1 thousand, and that's down 4%. SGC had, that's who I just did. CGC had 25.8 thousand, which was down 55%. And then Beckett had 14.6K, which was down 3%. So total grading reported for, again, February 26th to March 3rd was about 405.3 thousand cards graded.
It's amazing just to see that. I mean, I remember a couple of years ago when Jeff's first started the segment, 200,000 cards across the grading companies was a pretty busy week. And now we're seeing that just out of PSA alone. That's wow.
Yeah, I think you can thank Gary Vaynerchuk for a lot of that. But definitely everybody are chasing things and getting them sent off as soon as possible these days. So
Yes. Let's go ahead and take a look at this week's Big Three. The Big Three is brought to you by GemRate.com. It is an exclusive to TTM Cast where we get to take a little look and see who some of the individual cards are that have been trending upward and downward, both in the grading portion of the hobby here. Well, Vladimir Guerrero Jr., the big winner this week, he saw a 27% increase in his grading numbers. So nice to see there for the young Blue Jay. Lewis Hamilton, also in the F1 world, a 23% increase in his grading numbers as well. And Ronald Acuna Jr. up 16% this week as well. And that's one that pains me because I had that bat down variation of his rookie card and sold it to buy a new guitar amp. And anytime I look back and see the prices that are going on, I'm just like, oh, God, I wish I still had that. But the amp is nice, at least. So there is that. But Acuna is this week's big individual single card winner as well. His 2018 Topps Update-based rookie card saw an 82% increase in grading volume. So good to see on him there. I know the Braves have high hopes for him this season and going onward. Troy, what do we have as the guys that have been kind of dropping off here over the last week?
Yeah, so we have Connor McDavid, who is down about 21%. Feel a little bad for Bo Jackson, who's down about 22%. And Jerry Rice, who is down 28% in volume this week.
So once again, a big thanks to GemRate.com for these numbers. And once again, as I said, this is a TTM Cast exclusive here. They give us the big three just for us. We bring it on to you here on the show. Well, that about does it for all of our grading news here for the week. So let's move on to Stamp of Approval.
I bet you're wondering who earned this week's TTM Cast Stamp of Approval.
Stamp of Approval is just kind of a chance for us to give our thumbs up to something, anything from the previous week. You never know what it's going to be. Sometimes it's sports related. Sometimes it's not. I think I finally got one, but Troy, we'll go ahead and let you take this one first and see what you got for your stamp of approval.
Yeah, so my stamp of approval for this week is someone that I have met only virtually, but is here in the area, and that is SciGuy29 on YouTube. He has a couple different things that he does. He does Crafter's Corner, I believe, or Crafts and Cards, where he has a beer and talks about different trading cards. And then he also does some TTMing as well. I actually had a small town story as I went into a local credit union and I sat down and we were just talking and I talked about coaching basketball and the teller or the representative said, oh, my dad coaches in Jefferson. And I was, which is a town, small town, really small town in Iowa. And I knew that SciGuy29 was a coach in Jefferson. And we just kind of kept talking. And I said, is he moving soon? Because this person on YouTube said he was moving. And she's like, yeah, that's my dad's SciGuy29. I was like, oh my gosh. Okay. Jeez. So it was just kind of a small town thing. He's a good guy, a fellow Cyclone fan. So got to give him a shout out for him as well. But if you're looking for some more card content and some TTMs, he's going to take a few weeks off because he's moving. But SciGuy29 on YouTube, just have to give him my stamp of approval because he's doing some fun stuff there.
It's a great one. I'll definitely have to check out that channel there. It sounds like he's got some cool stuff there for sure.
Mm-hmm.
All right. My stamp approval goes to a player from last night's game that my wife and I were watching. We had the Avalanche versus Wild game on there. And Valerie Nichushkin, a guy who's had kind of a star-crossed career at this point, very highly touted draft pick of the Dallas Stars, had a good rookie season, then had some injury problems, spent some time in the minor league, just was not producing at all, went back to Europe for a while. And eventually the Stars let him go and the Avs pick him up and take a chance on him. And, well, he finally started producing really up to what his what was expected of him the last couple of years. And a couple of weeks ago, he ended up going into the NHL treatment program for any kind of drug or mental issues. They didn't really specify what exactly it was or anything like that. But he'd also had a suspension, but had to take some time away from the team during the playoffs last year because of a personal or family issue or something like that. But took the time, did all the stuff there with everything, and came back this week. And not only does he come back, he scores the game-winning overtime goal in his first game back. I mean, you could not have scripted this any better. So Val Nichushkin for being able to, you know, deal with all this, come back from that, and then go and score the game-winning goal last night. That is my TTM cast stamp for approval for this week.
That's a great one.
Yeah, yeah. Definitely, I always like seeing stories like that. And he's the second Avalanche player to go through that this season, so good to see these guys are, you know, able to get help and everything like that and come back just as good afterward as they were before. So there we go. Well, there you go. That's our stamp approval for the week. And let's move on now to the Vern Rat Minute. Vern Rapp Minute is dedicated to the memory of Mr. Vern Rapp, former Major League Baseball player and manager who died before Jeff, our show founder, sent out a TTM request to him and got a nice note back from the family saying, hey, unfortunately, he's already passed away. And so to avoid making the mistakes we have made, we try to put anybody in here who has passed away in the previous week from the world of sports, celebrity, music, movies, politics, just so that you don't make the same mistakes that some of us have made before. The first one we'd like to mention, Ed Ott died earlier this week. He was a former catcher from 1974 to 81 for the Pirates and the Angels, won the 1979 World Series as a member of the Pirates, and has the distinction of having the shortest name in Major League Baseball history, five letters there across that. Considering he has such a short name, it's good to know that he was an excellent TTMer along with all of that. He was 72 years old.
And next we have another excellent TTMer and a big name for the set guys. That is UL Washington. He played shortstop from 1977 to 87 for Kansas City, Montreal, and Pittsburgh. And he batted .251 in his career. Yep, that's correct. And .354 in the 1980 ALCS. And speaking of what a coincidence with my acquisition this week with George Brett, he actually scored on George Brett's pine tar home run. So I didn't actually see that when I picked up that George Brett, obviously. So UL Washington was 70 years old.
A little trivia question here. What did the UL stand for in his name?
I'm not sure.
Everybody have a chance to think about it. At the end of the Vern Rapp Minute, wow. I'll give the answer to that one. It's yeah. So anyways, moving on, we have Tim Ecclestone passed away this week. He was a hockey player, played left wing from 1967 to 78. He was a member of the St. Louis Blues, the Detroit Red Wings, Toronto Maple Leafs, and the Atlanta Flames. He had a pair of 50-point seasons, back-to-back years, in fact, in the 70-71 and 71-72 seasons. He was an excellent TTMer during his lifetime. Tim Ecclestone was 76 years old.
Next, we have Roger Davis. He played from 1960 to 1966 for Chicago, the Rams, and the Giants. And he was the 1963 NFL champ with the Chicago Bears. And he was an excellent TTMer. I think I got him back a couple of times. Roger Davis was 85 years old.
Outside the world of sports, in the world of entertainment, we lost Akira Toriyama this week. He was a Japanese artist who is best known for doing most of the artwork, and I believe maybe even just straight up creating Dragon Ball Z, which of course became a well-known anime and card game, and just took over all that kind of stuff. Very influential anime and manga. He also was a video game character designer for Dragon Quest, that series, and a whole lot more. Don't know if he was a TTMer at all, but Akira Toriyama was 68 years old.
And rounding up the list this week, we have Chris Mortensen, an ESPN NFL analyst, and he was actually one of the first year-round reporters. So during his career, he had 18 journalism awards. And he wasn't necessarily a TTMer, but Chris Mortensen was 72 years old.
All right, and that trivia question answer for what did UL stand for in UL Washington's name? It stood for UL. It was just literally two letters. A first name was a single letter. His middle name was a single letter, and that was it. Didn't have anything past that, but yet, despite that just being his full name, he still put the initials, like the dots in between him there, as though it stood for something there.
Trick question.
Yep. Well, with all that in mind, let's move on to the main reason why we all are here. We've got our TTM returns.
Was our mailbox full this week? Let's take a look at this week's TTM returns.
Well, my mailbox fortunately picked up a little bit here this week. Let's see what I have. I had five that came back to me during that time, but got Chris Haeckel was the first one. He was a quarterback for the Washington Redskins in the early to mid-90s. I think mostly backup. Not sure how much he actually played in any games with them, but he had a bunch of cards around 1992 and 1993, and I went through, I found them, and I'm like, yeah, what? Why not? Let's go ahead and send these off. And so those got back to me in about maybe 2-3 week span, something like that. Also got Danny Noonan, who is a defensive lineman for the Dallas Cowboys throughout the 1980s. Played with Nebraska as well, part of their great 1980s teams there. And actually, his son is currently playing for Nebraska as well. And I made sure to mention in my letter, hey, best of luck to him there at Nebraska. Just not so much when he's playing against Ohio State, please. You know, tell him to back it off a little bit there. But he signed for me in about a 2-3 week span as well. I got back Dick Stigman. He was a pitcher back in the 50s and 60s, having to have a card of him randomly from, I think it was at the 58 set, something like that. I was somewhere in there. Here we go. It's whatever. This is a 1959 set. It was the rookie cards where they have that red, white, and blue background, Sporting News, all that on them. So got that. Interestingly enough, I sent it to an address in Minnesota, came back postmarked from Florida. So I'm guessing he's spending the winters down there in Florida and just have his mail sent down there. And hey, I would as well if I could do that. So
I was going to say the exact same thing.
Yeah, it's definitely the best way to spend your time, I would say there. So, but yeah, it took a couple months to get that one back. Also got Stan Gelbaugh. He was a former quarterback, best known for his time in the World League of American Football. He was the first winner of the World Bowl over there with playing for the London Monarchs. I think he was MVP that season too, and just absolutely dominated all the passing stats, it seemed like. London had an absolutely stacked team there, so not too surprising. He went on to play with Seattle a couple years later. I think he may have played with the Cardinals before he went to WLAF, but sent over to him. He got back to me in about a month or so. And the last one I got in was, I mentioned a few weeks ago, I got a one from the curling world. Well, I can add a second one into that now, as Chris Pliss sent back to me. He was a member of one of the U.S. curling teams, and he is in the 2022 Allen and Ginter set. And so a friend of mine gave me a couple of those cards and said, hey, yeah, if you want to send those off, I'll 50-50 with you. So no problem there. Got both back signed. Took about maybe a month and a half or so to get to me there. So one of those goes to my friend Chris, who gave me the cards. One goes to me, and there you go. One RTS to mention as well. I sent to Joe Kelly, former linebacker for the Bengals, the Raiders, the Jets, maybe a couple other teams in there. To an address just outside Cincinnati. Came back, returned to sender. It's had a lot of successes from it, though, so I'm guessing he must have moved recently, since I think the last success I saw, and even last attempt I saw, was from a few years ago. So looks like I'll have to go and hunt down a new address for him, though, and try that one out. So there you go. Troy, what do you got?
Well, kind of a slow week. I keep saying I'm going to send out a bunch each week, but I still haven't. So that is what today is for. Nothing on the schedule, but I did get two in, both from the NBA hoops that I've been sending out. And the first one was William Bedford on a couple Pistons cards. He signed 2 of 2 in about 54 days. And I've got a bunch of these. Those are pretty much the ones that are coming back now, are the NBA hoops from everything. And then the second set was Randy Brewer from the Timberwolves. Again, 54 days. He signed 2 of 2. So happy to get those out. They've just been literally sitting in a box for a long time. I picked up a bunch of those NBA Hoops cards from someone. It was actually an international student here at Iowa State who was heading home after graduation and didn't want to take them with him all the way back home. And so he gave me a pretty good deal on that. And so doing what we do with TTM Fuel is getting them sent out. So again, those are all B's. You might notice a theme. Last week was all A's. This is all B's. So we'll have to see what next week is.
There you go. I got to start going through some of my basketball stuff too, because I mean, I've got a couple boxes there of just basketball stuff. It's right around the same era of the stuff that you're sending there with the 90-91 Hoops, Fleer, Skybox, all that from probably like 89-90 to 91-92, a couple years gap in there. And then a bunch of, I think it was 93-94 Tops basketball, 94-95 Fleer basketball. So I got to go through those and see, you know, who signs and who doesn't, and just start cranking some of those out too, along with the ones you've sent there.
Yeah, I did end up sending another couple requests to Danny Ainge, who I got last year. He was kind of hit and miss for people last year. I got him really early on. I was one of the first ones to get him. I think it was it Las Vegas, I believe. And I believe I sent his baseball cards, not basketball cards. So this time, I sent his basketball cards. So we'll see if those come back.
That actually came up recently in, I was looking at a Facebook group earlier today, and they were talking about two sport athletes, and somebody said, yeah, I've never gotten Danny Ainge. I'm thinking, really? Because, yeah, I know you got him recently. I got him about a year ago as well. So it's like, yeah, maybe kind of hit or miss. I haven't tried him a second time at all there, but I know he was kind of that way for a long time anyway. So I guess just it's kind of continuing on there with him then too.
Yeah, so if it comes back, you guys will be the first to know, because I'm way behind on videos. So.
All right. Well, I think we've just about covered everything we need to get in here. So might as well go ahead and wrap this one on up. So once again, a big thanks to Clemente Lisi joining us in the Clemente's World segment. We'll be talking next week in Collector's Corner, where I've sent a message to a friend of mine, Jason Hines, who is a longtime collector. And he said, yeah, hey, I could definitely do an interview. So hopefully we'll have him on for next week's show. I want to remind you as well, if you want to get anything checked out by Les Wolf, any appraisals, authentications, anything like that, please send them on over to us. I haven't gotten any yet. We're supposed to talk to him about them in another week or two. So send them on to us. The email address once again here for the show.
TTMcast@yahoo.com.
There you go. So send it on over to us. You know, send us some pictures, any stories behind the item that you want him to take a look at, and we'll hopefully have some for him to take a look at. If not, I'm going to have to start, you know, scouring through my collection here and going, all right, so yeah, check these things out and see what he thinks on some of those. But hopefully we'll get a few in by then. So make sure you just get those in as soon as you can to us, and we'll have Les take a look. So that about does it for the week. Troy, anything to add here? Any thoughts before we go ahead and sign off?
No, just looking forward to the next week. Iowa State has its last conference game tonight. Versus Kansas State. So I'll be checking that out here in about an hour and a half from when we were recording this, but hopefully everybody's teams, if they're following basketball, are ending the season strong.
Absolutely. Well, there you go. Once again, thanks everybody for tuning in. Wishing you many happy returns, and we'll see you next week.
Hey everyone, be good.